Moncrief on News Talk.
Next summer, there might be people in your house freaking out about the Leaving Cert results, which might be a good time to remind them of the story of Seamus Boland. Seamus is the incoming president of the European Economic and Social Committee and never worried about the Leaving Cert because he never did it. He left school at 13. Seamus, good afternoon and congratulations on the new job.
Well, good afternoon, Sean, and thanks very much for that. Yes, indeed. Yeah, it was a bit of a disaster when it came to stuff like that, but I suppose it was all shaped by life as well. So, yeah.
Well, are you being a bit unfair to yourself saying you were a disaster because you left school at 13 because you had to?
Sean, I was one of those, I'm sure you went to school with a few of them, annoying young fellas that actually liked school. I would even pretend to get stuff wrong so that I wouldn't be completely ostracized. And suddenly, my poor father got very, very unwell. I was living in a very small holding in Offaly. And all my life changed. I think through first year, I was struggling to even stay there and sort of managed a little bit in second year, but lost totally the battle. Because, unfortunately, in those times, in the early 70s, that was the only way we could survive. And let's face it, we weren't the only ones, but poverty was a massive issue at the time and we were in the middle of it and I was needed at home.
Yeah. And when you were that age, Seamus, did you feel, now you had to do it, it was a family responsibility and all that stuff, but did you feel you were missing out on things?
Yeah, you do, Sean. I mean, as I said, it would have helped if I didn't like school. It was like everyone else, or it would have helped if I, you know, and I missed the company and I missed all of that. And of course I did. So that was a big thing. But you see, you know, I'm blessed, I suppose, in a way, because I kind of, there's a Shauna Casey line, you know, you're lying in the mud, but looking up at the stars. And I was usually in the mud, but I managed not to see the fact I was in the mud. So I got on with it kind of thing. It wasn't easy because remember, the farm I was on is very small. We just had horses for doing the crops. And really, it was pretty peasant-type farming, pretty labor, almost like, you know, people would call it ecology farming now, but it wasn't too fashionable at the time, I can tell you.
Yeah, indeed. And so, but you were still reading books. You were still interested in the world. As you said, you love learning.
Oh, listen, I became an expert on the Brehon Laws. However, Sean, you need an expert on the Brehon Laws. I'm sure you think about that every day. Yeah. Call me. Listen, I started going into the library. Thank God my father did give me a love of books and reading. So into the library every week, my three books, and probably read them in the week, believe it or not. And I came across everything. You know, you do that. If you love reading, you just get what you like. And in those days, I'm not sure what books I shouldn't have been reading, but I'm pretty sure there was quite a few. But the Brehon Laws was helped the old social justice part because I discovered divorce existed in Ireland hundreds of years ago and all sorts of very liberal ideas that would still be frowned on today, but they were in the Brehon Laws, so I learned all about that.
Yeah, and also, though, Mockra was a big influence in your life.
Yeah. Look, it's my university. In the Mock and the Farmer, I was asked once upon a time later in life, I was trying to, but there was no second, they noticed my second level wasn't great, to say the least. And I somehow flipped it around to say, well, actually, my third level learning was through Mock and the Farmer. And it really was. There I learned drama, public speaking, leadership, all the skills, frankly, you need in life. And if you can read, you can figure out what skill you think you're good at. And yeah, Mockra was a tremendous resource for me.
Yeah. And so did you get a chance at some stage to kind of return back to learning?
Yeah, I did. I was very much involved in the debating, and we won a debating All-Ireland in 85. And this lady walked up to me and said, you know what, I'm doing a speech and drama licensure to teach program, London School of Music in Trinity. We'd love you. We think you'd be a great person. I didn't know whether she was drunk or mad. But anyway, we did it. And took me, you see, the thing is, Sean, when I went back then, of course, I had nothing, you know. So even Trinity and even London School of Music, you know, were kind of baffled. They said, okay, he has to do a year of, you know, some sort of study to just prove that he can actually cope with this. So I did. I did a year's pre, and I did, I'll never forget, two exams I did on English literature, and honestly managed to fail them spectacularly. And the next time I repeated it, I did the opposite. I went full letter into it and got the pass. So that entered me into what was an extraordinary, brilliant course, and I'm very happy I did that. Mm. Later, I would do another degree in rural development, but to be honest with you, the speech and language is my favourite.
Yeah, and from there then, after a period of time, you became involved in Irish Rural Link, became chief executive of it.
Yeah, and you know, it was one of the things I loved working. I spent most of my life, by the way, also before that, in working with young people, young disadvantaged people, young people in various parts of the Midlands, and people who had problems and issues. And there's some lovely, you know, results there that we had, getting people out of the horrible systems. Maybe they've done time or whatever. So that was a brilliant part of my life, which I really, the Midland Youth Services, that's a call out to them if they're listening. They're still there. They're doing brilliant work based in Athlone, Tullamore, Mullingar, Derry, and all of that. And yes, eventually my interest in rural was always there. It was never not there. So joining Irish Rural Link and then becoming CEO of it was an enormous opportunity, which I really and truly relished.
Yeah, and the job you have now, because the European Economic and Social Committee, you're in Brussels, is that correct? It sounds very fancy.
God, fancy is the word. And keep telling the people that, because honestly, you want to see some of the stuff that's not fancy. Look, the European Economic Social Committee, it's part of the Rome Treaty. It's civil society. It's the voice of civil society. It has to represent that voice. And, you know, it's all of the organizations, including the employers and the trade unions, but it's the reality here is they need a direct voice. That's the way the treaty saw it, and they've given us that direct voice. We influence EU legislation. We influence stuff for the Commission. We've done a lot of work in terms of poverty, and I'm telling you, we're going to be doing a lot more. And of course, housing. I met Costa, who is the president of European Council this morning, a Portuguese ex-premier, and I'm very glad to hear that he is treating housing seriously, because to me it's an emergency. It's not just serious, but my job is to get that voice into the corridors of power and to bring influence, because we're losing the voice of civil society, Sean, and that's our problem at the moment, and it's fertile ground for all the other stuff that really is not so pleasant.
Yeah, and do they listen to you?
Well, I'll tell you what. Last year, we had a letter. We got 156 organisations and umbrellas around Europe to sign a letter demanding that a voice of civil society would be heard. Now, at least we have some results out of that, in the sense that President van der Leyen has now included it in the programme of the Commission, and they've also included poverty, which was another part of it. And I am hoping that we will be much more connected. But, Sean, I'm too long in the tooth to know. Let's not trust them. Let's not go overboard on the trust factor. But we have to make our case in the most professional way possible. And the demand, as far as I'm concerned, the demand is very simple. Listen to civil society or take the consequences.
Indeed. Seamus, thanks a million for talking to us. Keep up the good work. That's Seamus Boland there, incoming president of the European Economic and Social Committee.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.